This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to the Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and our first article comes from the front page of the Military Times, dated April 30th, 2025. From Pentagon and Congress, House Chairman asks Attorney General to investigate former VA leaders. House Republican lawmakers are asking Attorney General Pam Bondi to investigate whether former Veterans Affairs leaders violated federal laws with their budgetary mistakes last year, potentially shifting the ongoing political dispute into the courts. If any criminal or civil violations occur, those responsible must be held accountable. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Mike Bost, Republican of Illinois, wrote in a letter to Bondi Tuesday. He asked for her office to look into the submission of false statements to Congress, obstruction of oversight, fraud, or misappropriation of federal funds. Top Democratic leaders decried the move as a desperate political stunt by Republican leaders attempting to distract from the current administration's planned cuts to VA staff and services. I am appalled by his recommendation and blatant weaponization of the judicial system, said Representative Mark Takano, Democrat of California, ranking member of Bose's committee. It is unprecedented, and the American people, especially our veterans, deserve better than sham investigations and political theater becoming the new normal. The conflict dates back to last summer, when then VA Secretary Dennis McDonnell and other senior department leaders told lawmakers that funding for benefits and medical care could run out in October because of increased programmatic usage earlier in 2024. Congress approved $3 billion in emergency funding in September amid pressure from veterans groups and the White House, staving off any potential fiscal shortfall. But in late October, VA officials acknowledged their budget estimates were flawed and that more than $5 billion in funding was available for the start of the new fiscal year. At the time, McDonnell and other VA leaders said the moves were made out of an abundance of caution and warned that any shortfall could have disrupted veterans' payouts. But Bost and other Republicans disputed that assertion and accused White House officials of manufacturing panic about veterans' benefits just weeks ahead of the November presidential elections. In his letter to the Attorney General's office, Bost said that VA leaders knew of their budgetary errors even before the emergency congressional vote, but did not share that information until after the extra money was approved. This delayed disclosure and the omission of available resources in key budget documents call into question the accuracy and integrity of the department's budget justification process, he wrote. The suggestion that senior VA officials submitted materially inaccurate funding requests and failed to disclose critical budget information warrant immediate and independent review by your office. These failures undermine the appropriation process, misled lawmakers, and most importantly, put the benefits and services America's veterans rely on at risk. Both specifically singled out McDonnell, former Undersecretary for Benefits Josh Jacobs, and former Undersecretary for Health Dr. Sharif Elanal for potential charges. An Inspector General review of the budget issues released last month found significant problems with VA's budgetary projections and accounting practices, but did not recommend criminal or civil actions against former department leaders. The Democratic leaders have accused President Donald Trump of abusing his executive power to attack and harass political opponents. Takano called Bose's investigation requests an extension of those same abusive practices. Former Secretary McDonnell and his team led VA through one of its most successful eras in history, he said in a statement. They deserve to be honored, not smeared by partisan attacks. In addition to whatever actions the Attorney General's office pursues, Bost promised continued investigation from his committee into this issue. Relationships between Republicans and Democrats on the committee, which typically have fewer partisan fights than other congressional panels, have grown increasingly tense over the last few years, with each side accusing the other of sowing division and panic among veterans. And in our next article, Education and Transition, GOP bill repeals rule on how for-profit schools count vets' benefits, April 30th, 2025. House Republicans are moving to repeal rules preventing for-profit colleges from counting military education benefits as non-government funding in their financial accounting, a move that advocates said could allow predatory companies to prey upon students' veterans. Members of the House Education and Workforce Committee voted along party lines Tuesday to advance their section of the massive congressional reconciliation bill, which includes $330 billion in cuts to education spending over the next decade. Panel Democrats objected to multiple portions of the bill and the GOP's overall approach to federal programming cuts. But language in the bill repeating the 90-10 loophole regarding GI Bill benefits drew particular concern from veterans advocates, who said that the move represents an attack on oversight and accountability for post-military education benefits. The closing of this loophole was widely celebrated as bipartisan success in 2021, said Representative Mark Tucano, Democrat of California, a panel member and the top Democrat on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, during debate on the reconciliation measure Tuesday. Congress deemed that holding predatory for-profits accountable was necessary to safeguard federal education benefits and ultimately protect both taxpayers and students. By law, colleges and universities must have at least 10% of their revenues derived from non-federal sources in order to qualify for federal benefits. The idea behind the regulation is to ensure that for-profit institutions aren't funded solely by federal monies, but instead also includes significant investment by students interested in furthering their education. But for years, GI Bill benefits and Defense Department tuition assistance programs were not counted as federal dollars for the 90-10 calculation, despite being taxpayer-funded benefits. As a result, schools could target veterans or troops receiving federal education payouts to boost their government funding well beyond the 90% cap. For years, as part of an emergency funding bill, lawmakers closed that loophole, reclassifying the GI Bill money and other medical military education programs as federal funding in the 90-10 calculations. The new rule has been in place for about 3 years. But the Republican-backed reconciliation bill would revert to the pre-2021 rules. GOP committee members argued the change was needed to reduce regulations and promote more affordable options for student veterans. Rather than using the regulatory hammer to pick winners and losers, we should encourage all colleges to focus on student success, said Representative Burgess Owens, Republican of Utah. Democrats disagreed. Advocates for years have argued that the loophole incentivizes schools to recruit veterans to plus up the amount of steady government dollars they could collect, even in cases where the programs did not provide long-term benefits to students. Unscrupulous institutions were using this to exploit student veterans, said Representative Suzanne Bonamici, Democrat of Oregon. Now Republicans want to eliminate the rule altogether, removing a vital consumer protection and giving for-profit colleges free rein to continue to prey on students. VA pays out more than $8 billion in education payments annually. A Democratic amendment to strip the repeal language from the reconciliation measure failed along party lines. The provision could still be removed by House leadership before a full chamber vote, or by Senate lawmakers before final passage of the budgetary measure. Veterans groups who have been advocating on the issue for years promised to highlight it in coming weeks. The House of Representatives should be ashamed that they're even entertaining the idea of reinstating this costly and wrong-headed policy that would threaten the future of veterans' education, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America CEO Allison Jaslow said in a statement. Republican leaders have said they hope to pass a final reconciliation bill packaged by mid-June. In our next article, with new jets, Marines need new weapons for future fights, dated April 30th, 2025. The Marines are closing in on their goal of having a full fifth-generation fighter jet fleet. However, those new jets are still equipped with 1980s-era weapons technology. That's an area Marine aviation leaders such as Lieutenant General Bradford Gehring, Deputy Commandant for Aviation, and Colonel Derek Brannon, Director of the Cunningham Group, are looking to industry for help. "We are killers at the root. We are Marines," Brannon told the audience at the Modern Day Marine Exposition in Washington on Wednesday. Alongside upgraded weapons and munitions options for the Corps, growing fleet of F-35B and F-35C fighter jets, The two aviation leaders also noted recent lessons learned for distributed air operations. A West Coast-based exercise called upon entities across the Marine Corps to work out how distributed aviation operations would work in that theater. The next tabletop exercise is slated for Europe in the coming year. Some of the key lessons learned are a need for more vital and live training options. Decision-centric aviation operations driven by data using large language models to work out scenarios, better plans for communication and power generation, and timing and controlling the tempo of the need for camouflage, cover, and concealment. Artificial intelligence and machine learning will play a crucial role in those next steps. We're pursuing those really hard right now because it's all about data, Yering said. The three-star provided an example of using such tools for predicting aircraft component failures and adjusting supplies to fit accordingly. What can you do then is make decisions with that aircraft, Yering said of employing various platforms. The same moves are key for what aviation units will take with them. By understanding the full picture of maintenance and supplies, units can know what to pack and potentially take less, leaving a smaller footprint, he said. On the jet side of aviation, the Marines expect to complete purchasing 95 of the KC-130J cargo planes over the next 5 years. 11 squadrons, 2 training and 9 operational, now fly the F-35 Lightning II jet, a fifth-generation fighter. The Corps will build another 7 active-duty squadrons over the next 5 years, which will be supplemented by 2 Marine Reserve squadrons. Once completed, there will be 18 active squadrons, a dozen flying the F-35Bs, and 6 flying the F-35C. The 2 reserve squadrons will fly the C variant, which is built for aircraft carrier takeoff and landing. The B variant can conduct vertical takeoff and landing. The AV-8 Harrier jet will sunset this year, Bannon said. The A-18 Hornet will sunset in the next 5 years. And in our next article, Marines have air defense but need a way to defeat drone swarms, dated April 30th, 2025. Marines are fielding a host of options for knocking down airborne threats, from small drones to cruise missiles. Still, what they need is a way to handle potential drone swarms, service officials said. The big thing that really keeps me up at night is swarms, Colonel Andrew Kunicki, head of ground-based air defense for Marine Corps Systems Command, said at the Modern Day Marine Military Exposition in Washington on Wednesday. Kunicki set the scene with 2 anecdotes, one from the Ohio State University football game against the University of Maryland in 2023, which was delayed due to a drone over the field. The other was the 2020 Beijing Olympics drone demonstration, in which a coordinated drone swarm presented a light show to millions of spectators. Both presented frightening prospects. The football game could have been a single drone dropping baby powder, which some might worry could be a biological threat. And the Olympics scenario raised questions about how a small military unit or even a lone Marine would counter hundreds or potentially thousands of drones targeting their position. On the small drone level, the Marines have deployed 13 of 21 Light Marine Air Defense Integrated Systems, or LMATIS, over the past 3 years. That tiller system was fielded to the 3rd Littoral Anti-Air Battalion with the 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment in 2024. It handles Group 1 and 2 drone threats. Recent fielding of the LMATIS system with the Marine Expeditionary Units proved effective in maritime environment despite the system being built mainly as a ground-based air defense system, Kunicki said. For a larger threat, the MATIS, a more powerful version of its light brother, will see 7 more systems deployed by September in addition to the 13 already in the inventory, Kunicki said. The rapid rise of unmanned aerial systems used for surveillance, targeting, and attacks has made advanced air defense systems like MATIS critical to protecting our Marines and preserving our combat effectiveness. Lieutenant Colonel Craig Warner, Future Weapons Systems Product Manager, said in December 2024, MATIS not only detects, tracks, and defeats aerial threats, but also serves as a powerful deterrent, signaling to adversaries that their aerial assets will not succeed against U.S. forces. On the even larger end of the spectrum, the Corps expects to field its first platoon with medium-range intercept capability, or MRAC, an anti-cruise missile system that's proven highly effective in operational testing, the colonel said. Over recent experimentation and operational testing, the Marines have identified key areas to improve. A top priority is defeating swarms, Kinnicky said, quickly following our munition-agnostic launch systems, enhancing passive sensing and dismounted sensing and defeat capability and training support both in virtual and live spaces, he said. The colonel would especially like to see passive sensing capability for the IMRIC, he said. And in our next article, MARSOC is fusing traditionally rugged Marines with tech-curious ones, dated April 30th, 2025. The Marine Corps stands in forces needs to possess physical toughness and natural inquisitiveness in order to succeed. Marine Corps Special Operations Command leaders said Tuesday at an annual defense conference. Major General Peter Huntley, commander of the Marine Corps Special Operations Command, spoke at a modern-day Marine panel in Washington about how a changing military landscape requires multifaceted Marine Corps raiders who possess both a grittiness synonymous with the Marine Corps and an eagerness to learn and adapt to evolving information systems. It's going to be nasty. It's going to be brutish. It's going to take tough, rugged people. Huntley said of the global military landscape requires of the Marine Corps raider. But he said that environment would also drive the need for MARSOC personnel with the cognitive ability to adapt to new technologies and a desire to adapt. Marine Corps stand-in forces outlined in a Marine Corps plan to prepare for future conflicts, dubbed force design, are defined as small but lethal forces designed to operate within a contested area and disrupt the plans of an adversary. MARSOC fits the definition. The proliferation of unmanned defense systems and adversarial technology advancements, as observed in the Russian-Ukraine war, has served as a driving factor for MARSOC's modernization efforts, which have included acquiring leading defense technologies and recruiting physically tough, naturally curious Marines, leaders said at Tuesday's panel. Colonel Shane Edwards of MARSOC G8, who also spoke at the panel, said MARSOC's current fleet of technologies includes unmanned surface and underwater vessels, and more than 45 aerial drones. He said artificial intelligence and small robotics, especially first-person view drones, are the biggest game changers for MARSOC. These systems are pivotal for contested environments in which adversaries are ramping up their own modernization efforts and eclipsing the sophistication of their previous systems. We're going up against enemies that have way better tech, Edwards said. Panelists reiterated that a military landscape evolving at breakneck speed doesn't alter the basic necessary for exemplary Marines. What makes MARSOC unique, Huntley said, is that their personnel are constantly deployed forward, providing raiders the opportunity to consistently set the theater for partner forces and be a key solver of problem sites. It allows us to do things that are uniquely soft, Huntley said, whether it's to help our partners fend off aggression by adversaries, or to set conditions. That way, he said, if conflict does potentially arise, the raiders will be prepared. They won't be starting on game day because they will have done their homework. Panelists said MARSOC aims to support joint forces by providing information to help them achieve their objectives. In order to do that, the component is leveraging new technologies to provide Marine Corps raiders with as much valuable information as possible. MARSOC is experimenting with unmanned systems, autonomous and semi-autonomous, that possess an increased range of movement that would allow MARSOC to investigate larger geographical swaths, Huntley said. Those might include surface maritime types of platforms that could travel long distances from shore to sea, or airborne ones as well, he said. In case you're just now joining us, you're listening to Military Times. And in our next article, Pentagon in Congress. Hegseth cancels women's leadership program despite past Trump support, dated April 29, 2025. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth on Tuesday ended a seven-year-old program to boost leadership roles for women within the military, blasting an initiative as a divisive liberal focus that does not add to service members' readiness. The Women's Peace and Security Program was signed into law by President Donald Trump in 2017. But Hegseth criticized the effort as a priority for President Joe Biden and United Nations officials, despite numerous conservative supporters of the program. WPS is yet another woke, divisive social justice Biden initiative that overburdens our commanders and troops, distracting from our core task, warfighting, Hegseth wrote in a social media post. WPS is a United Nations program pushed by feminists and left-wing activists. Politicians fawn over it. Troops hate it. He later added to his message claiming that Biden administration distorted and weaponized the Trump-approved program. Last week, U.S. military officials met in Japan with defense leaders from six Pacific countries for the third annual Women, Peace, and Security Workshop, designed to discuss ways to promote peace and security as well as women's issues. In an official release, the Defense Department representatives said the coordination helped emphasize the message that when women are included in peace processes, the peace is longer lasting and it has a better chance of success. During Trump's previous term in office, his administration touted the program as key to upholding international human rights and said the program helps America be better equipped to promote our security, confront our near-peer competitors, and defeat our adversaries. The legislator for the program was drafted and supported by Homeland Security Secretary Christine Noem, previously the congresswoman from South Dakota. Secretary of State Marco Rubio has also been a strong supporter, including recently complimenting the program's impact within his department. But Hegseth said he will fight to end the program for our next budget. Defense officials did not provide specifics on how much the initiative costs. The move drew immediate condemnation from Democrats in Congress. This short-sighted and unlawful move to end the bipartisan Women, Peace, and Security Law, which President Trump signed into law during his first term, awakens America's global standing, said Senator Jeanine Shaheen, Democrat of New Hampshire, in a statement. Hegseth doesn't understand how the inclusion and participation of women in mediation and negotiation make a measurable difference in preventing, mitigating, and resolving violent conflicts and keeping America safe. Every combatant commander who comes through my office highlights the strategic advantage WPS gives U.S. forward deployed forces. Democratic lawmakers have sparred with Pentagon leaders in recent weeks over a host of program cuts and cancellations, many dealing with ending diversity and inclusion efforts in favor of efforts which officials say are more in line with administration priorities. And in the next article, active duty troops detained in DEA raid at illegal Colorado nightclub, dated April 28, 2025. Active duty service members were among those detained during a crackdown by the U.S. Department Drug Enforcement Administration on an unlicensed underground nightclub in Colorado Springs, Colorado. About 200 people were in the venue when DEA agents, as well as U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, raided the club early Sunday morning. The agencies seized drugs and weapons and detained 114 undocumented immigrants, the DEA said in a statement. More than a dozen active duty troops were at the nightclub, some as patrons, others working as security guards, the DEA said. We have some active duty service members who were armed security guards, said Jonathan Pullen, the special agent in charge at the DEA's Rocky Mountain Division. The agency had been investigating the After Hours Club for months and had witnessed prostitution, drug trafficking, and acts of violence, Pullen said in a news conference. When asked by local news station KOAA5 whether the service members knew anything about the illegal acts happening in the club, Pullen responded, I think everybody who goes into a nightclub at 3 o'clock in the morning knows what they are getting into. The Army confirmed Monday that the troops were stationed at nearby Fort Carson, a post located just south of Colorado Springs that's host to the 4th Infantry Division. Fort Carson leaders are aware of the Drug Enforcement Administration-led operation that occurred at an illegal nightclub in Colorado Springs early Sunday morning, a Fort Carson spokesperson said. We acknowledge that there were some Fort Carson service members present at the location during the operation. The spokesperson said Army leadership will look at each service member's situations on a case-by-case basis, adding that they are all presumed innocent until proven guilty. The Army did not share the number of service members detained in the raid. Illegal activities of any kind do not represent our military values, the spokesperson said. We will continue to work in coordination with our federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies to ensure our community is safe. Attorney General Pamela Bondi posted about the large-scale operation Sunday on social media, alleging members of the criminal gangs Tren de Aragua and MS-13 frequenting the venue. As we approach his 100 days in office, Trump's directive to make America safe again is achieving results, Bondi said. The 114 undocumented immigrants who were detained during a raid were put onto buses for processing and likely eventual deportation, the DEA said. In our next article, Marine Training Chief wants to let NCOs loose with more drone access, dated April 30th, 2025. The Marines' new attack drone team is tackling the challenge of turning drones into weapons, and they want to get more rank and file Marines in on the action. The Corps Attack Drone Team announced its videos with videos and fanfare March 31st, represents what leadership is hopes is turning point in the ground level drone warfare. While infantry units have integrated small unmanned aerial vehicles in formations for intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance, armed drone warfare was largely been left to much larger platforms. The move is necessary now, leaders said in the team's rollout, in response to rapid proliferation of armed first-person view drone technology and tactics, most notably in Russia and Ukraine. But one challenge leaders see in integrating payload-carrying drones into infantry formations is overcoming the barriers for Marines to gain experience operating unmanned systems, which can be subject to an array of military and civil rules and restrictions. Colonel Scott Kumo, the commanding officer of Weapons Training Battalion at Marine Corps Base Quantico, Virginia, and a planner behind the attack drone team, said he was having conversations with Major General Jason Woodworth, commanding general of Marine Corps Installation Command, about changing range control regulations to allow for simpler integration of drones into training, and notably give Marines more options to train with drones in their downtime and near their living quarters. We're working through changing the regulations so that if you're in 111 or 12, wherever it is, you can fly this capability in proximity to your barracks without any kinetic live ordnance on them. That you could just train, Kumo said, referring to Marine infantry battalions located in California and North Carolina. You've probably seen Marines go into the armory, draw their weapons, draw their comm gear, and then just train in an open field and work on drills or whatnot. He said, right now it's challenging to do that with small drones. Within the next few months, Kumo said, he expects to get authorizations or changes made that allow for permission for broader drone activity around bases at 150 to 200 feet above ground level, with prior authorization from range control that takes 15 to 20 minutes. Today, he said, authorization can take more than a month, or alleged from military times. Once again, my name is Mark Love, and I hope that you'll join us next time.